This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Only yesterday we were talking about Hurricane Ian, and just 2 days ago, the people that make their lives and livelihoods in Fort Myers Beach in Florida were allowed back in to see what was left. In some cases, you know, they had a shell of a house. In other cases, there were possessions they could walk away with. And in many, many, many cases, everything is just completely, completely annihilated. So the hurricane that was is now all about what's insurance going to pay and FEMA on the scene and what happens with the rest of the hurricane season, because it goes all the way until November. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great weekend. And there are a lot of interesting things to talk about here as we kick the week off on America Tonight officially, although we were on the air yesterday. It always feels like Monday into Tuesday is when things are pumping, because I think we sleepwalk on the very early morning hours, meaning collectively, I'm going to say so many of us are coming into the week where we're like, oh, already? How did that happen? What happened to the weekend? So, you know, in all seriousness, it really has been crazy for the people in the southwest coast of Florida. And now there are more hurricanes brewing, but it's too early for any kind of models or any of that. We do know that Hurricane Julia was terrible to Central America. The storm drenched Guatemala and El Salvador on Monday with torrential rains. 28 people dead so far at this point. And again, it's the water, the water, the water. And what do we all know now? At this point, you run from the water and you hide from the wind, as the saying goes. But it was extremely powerful and an intense tropical cyclone that caused great devastation. And here we go. You look at Hurricane Julia, and it's the 10th named storm, 6th hurricane, and 4th major hurricane of the 2022 hurricane season. So, you know, again, Julia doing its damage in Central America, and lots of incredible amounts of rain totals. And there are conversations about other potential storms as we, you know, track what's happening now. There's another disturbance near the southwest part of the Gulf. So that's, again, a disturbance. So it doesn't mean that it's going to turn into anything at this point. But there are two systems in the tropics, and we'll see what, you know, we'll see what that brings. So far, no major threats, even to our pals in Louisiana. Also, as we start the week, gas prices. People are complaining again about gas. I was in my favorite Wawa grabbing a cup of Joe. I love this store because it seems like I always get a reward for I don't know what reason, but it's good enough for me. They want to give me any size coffee free, and I like their coffee. So I heard a lot of people mumbling about gas prices and the fact that they were going up. And pretty soon the national average could be $4 a gallon for the first time in 2 months. It might not stay there long. We'll see, because in some parts of the country, it's starting to tip back in the opposite direction. But it has gone up 12 cents in the last week and 24 cents since a 98-day price slide ended late last month, which we all were enjoying. But part of that spike followed last week's decision by OPEC to cut production by 2 million barrels a day in an effort to what? Lift crisis, right? And we get it in the U.S. pretty bad because of reduced refining capacity. You got a lot of West Coast refineries that have been offline because of accidents or maintenance or whatever. But 18% of the nation's refining capacity was offline at the time the OPEC cut was announced. And when you track gas prices, this is one of the elements that you look at. So for the people listening to us on our great affiliate KCAA in Southern California and other parts of California where you're listening, AAA said prices in Cali account for nearly 10% of the national gasoline usage. They have had fallen a nickel last week, but by far the highest average prices in the nation, $6.33 a gallon. Wow, $6.33. I mean, you just know you're going to get socked with that when you live in California. While everybody else complains about where they're at, it is the absolute worst on that coast. That's exactly what they deal with. Columbus Day coming and going. You know, there are some people that still celebrate Columbus Day. And, of course, I didn't get any mail today. You probably didn't either. There was no mail that was delivered. But Columbus Day, and now what is often called Indigenous Peoples Day, was observed Monday, October 10th. Some did still get the day off from work or school, and the federal holiday deal is it's always part of it. It's the second Monday of October. So there was a proclamation that was released last year, which started the Indigenous Peoples Day, because there was a lot of blowback to things that have been unearthed about Christopher Columbus. Financial institutions, boom, you know, most banks completely closed, and, you know, so you may have been one of those people that ran to the bank and, gee, forgot that it's hot. I mean, look, I went to the mailbox, and I said, oh, that's right. It's Columbus Day. I forgot. It is the season for firing in the NFL. So the Carolina Panthers fired their head coach, Matt Rhule. He was really struggling. The Panthers had a 1-4 record this season. And overall for him, 11-27 record in 2-plus years with the Panthers. He is the first official NFL head coach to be dismissed this season. He's replaced by an interim head coach for now, already with the team. But it's interesting because coaches make some pretty good money. He joined the Panthers with a 7-year, $62 million contract in 2020. He's famous for coaching college football with Baylor and Temple. And he's the first ever Panthers coach to serve fewer than three full seasons. We do have Nail the Score on Tuesday. It's a good time to promo that. Tuesdays when we do it, I pick the game of the week. You can call in or you can send in an email during our segment. It's in the first hour, last segment, and a lot of people have fun with this. We have a couple of our regulars that always call in, and then a lot of people that email us too as well. Some getting very, very close to nailing the score. I have a good feeling about this season. I think somebody will be named a winner. And by the way, we do have a man cave coming up. That's in the second hour of the show. But coming up next, my pal Greg Stevin has a new book out. Ready for this title? Does Putin Have to Die? The story of how Russia becomes a democracy after losing to Ukraine. Next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have the level of health and energy you desire? The Western world's oldest superfood supports energy, mood, elimination of cravings for junk foods or sweets, elimination of pain, detoxification, immunity, muscle building, fat loss, and even has anti-cancer properties. The oldest superfood is cold-sterilized whey protein from grass-pastured cows. Unlike heat-sterilized whey protein powder, cold-sterilized is easy to digest, and for most dairy-intolerant people, they digest it fine. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold-sterilized whey protein powder on the market. Green Meadow Whey is imbued with a life-giving energy that most people can feel in the form of improved energy and mood for 6 or more hours at a time. Unheated whey is nature's most powerful support for glutathione production, so essential to the health of every cell of your body. Let Green Meadow Whey erase your fatigue, fortify your immune system, support your detoxification, support your fat loss and lean muscle development, and lift you to new levels of health. To learn more or order, go to bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Ukraine. The latest is Vladimir Putin threatening further harsh responses, and we know what some of them have been after massive, massive Russian strikes. Once again, really, really sad what we're seeing. It is my pleasure to welcome my friend to the show, Greg Stebbin. He's got a new book out, Does Putin Have to Die? The story of how Russia becomes a democracy after losing to Ukraine. Greg, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
So you spent so much time in and around Ukraine and brought amazing stories to us and still are bringing amazing stories to the United States and many, many other listeners. And now you've got this book, and of course with the title, you know, right away it jumps out at you, Does Putin Have to Die? And then, of course, the second part, the story of how Russia becomes a democracy, like I said, after losing to Ukraine. So explain the title. How does that happen?
Well, I think today is a perfect day to be talking about this. How can this end with Ukraine? First of all, I am completely unwilling to accept, as are the Ukrainian people and many other leaders and citizens of the world, that this can end with anything but Ukraine winning, and winning meaning the Russians leave, the Ukrainians get all their territory back, including Crimea. There's nothing aggressive about that as the goal. It's merely giving Ukraine back what is rightfully theirs. So I refuse to accept that this can end in any other way. And if you refuse to accept that it can end in any other way, how can this end with Vladimir Putin, without you at least debating, can he be alive to allow the Ukrainian people to have that victory? And I think, you know, as we say in the book, and we should talk about my co-author a little bit too, I don't think the determination of whether Putin will live to see the end of this war or not is up to anybody other than Vladimir Putin. You know, I think if he left tomorrow, he could certainly arrange. He certainly has the money and the power to arrange to go somewhere in the world and be safe for the rest of his life. But if he stays, there are a lot of people that want him dead. And it's not just Ukrainians. There's a lot of people in Russia who want him dead, too. He's a dead man walking if he doesn't give it up and get out.
Wow, I so agree with that. I've said that, and you even have a bigger beat on it, especially in the conversations you've had with your co-author. Tell us about the co-author.
Yeah, his name is Ilya Ponomarev, and his name may not be familiar to you, but some of the things he's done will be. For instance, he was a member of the Russian Parliament from 2007 to 2016. He was the only member of the Russian Parliament to vote against the annexation of Crimea in 2014. So the only one who opposed Putin on that, and a few months later he was in California on official Russian Duma or Parliament business, and the Russian government forbid him from ever returning home. He has not been home to Russia since 2014. He now lives in Ukraine. But he said at the time that if this annexation happened, it would eventually lead to a full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Russia. We're seeing that now. And he also said at the time that if Russia invaded Ukraine, he was going to fight on the side of Ukraine, and that's what he's doing. But ultimately, the point of the book is this. He believes that it is possible for the right leader to return to Russia and turn it into a democracy, to give the Russian people a new constitution, new laws, free and fair elections, and for them to live with the kind of democracy and freedom that we do. And he's frankly been working on this for a long, long time, and it's pretty clear that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen sometime soon.
And do you think we're seeing signs of what the people know and what the people want with these protests and the refusing to be mobilized and be forced to serve in this effort of Putin's to take Ukraine?
Well, I've learned a lot since I went to Poland and went into Ukraine and since I spent the last, I don't know how many months, writing this book with Ilya. And one of the things that's very tricky for us in the West is you cannot judge the people of that part of the world, not just Russia, but I'm including the Poles and the Ukrainians. Their view of the world and the way they think is very different than ours. Their relationship to history is very different than our relationship to history. Their relationship to one another. So it's tricky to try to think about what the Russian people will do by comparing them to the American people. So one of the things that's really interesting about what's happening in Russia is there's very few protests about the war in Ukraine. We've recently seen protests, but those were not protesting the war. They were protesting the mobilization. Mm-hmm. And that does not send a good signal to the world that the Russian people will ever want democracy, because it looks like they don't have a clue about what democracy is. And to some degree, that's probably true. They've lived in a vacuum of information and media for a long, long time. So a lot of what's going to happen is education. But at the end of the day, who doesn't want to be free? You remember the Ukrainians 30 years ago were part of the Soviet Union. Their road to democracy has not been without its problems, but look at how strong they are willing to fight for democracy and freedom today. Same thing with the Poles and many others that were part of the USSR back then, but have discovered the value of having freedom in their lives and are now willing to fight for it. And I believe, and Ilya certainly believes, the Russian people will fight for it too. They just have to remember what it is that's worth fighting for.
Ooh, so good. The foreword of your book, tell us about that.
Well, it's a little shocking, frankly. If you were going to write a book called Does Putin Have to Die, who would be the craziest person you could get to write the foreword for the book?
Putin,
that's right. And so I made it my goal to get Vladimir Putin to write the foreword for this book, Does Putin Have to Die? And I was successful. Now, to be honest, We didn't call them up and say, hey, Vlad, would you write the foreword for us? What I did was, or I should say we did, we went out and found a speech that he gave that is so shockingly pro-democracy. When I first read it, I thought to myself, I think this is a speech that Ronald Reagan gave, not Vladimir Putin. It's a speech he gave 2 weeks after 9/11. He delivered it in German to the German parliament. And if I read you parts of this, you will be shocked by how pro the West and pro-European, pro-democracy, pro-freedom, pro-human rights he is for the world and for the Russian people. And somehow over 20 years, he went from that to what he is today. I think that alone is a lesson for all of us. What happens when there's power and money and greed? This man is a perfect example of how corrupt one person can become.
Ooh. And for Ilya, you know, you talked about him being in Ukraine. Is he safe?
You know, it's funny. There's two questions he gets asked all the time. And you'll remember the last time I was on the show with you, I was talking about doing these daily shows on an online network called Beams, B-E-A-M-Z. Yeah. So I do a show with Ilya every Thursday. And very early on when we started doing these shows, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, you know, one of the first two questions people wanted to know, because these shows are interactive, is, you know, are you safe and why aren't you dead? Because he is on the Putin kill list. So let me take the first one first. Is he safe? You know, the first time someone asked that, he shrugged and he said, I'm in the middle of a war zone. I'm as safe as anyone else. So, sure, there was a ton of bombing in Kyiv today. He lives in Kyiv, so he certainly was at risk as anyone. But you might even say he's even more at risk because he's on the Putin kill list. And, you know, his kind of typical response to that is, I keep a machine gun by the door.
Wow. A machine gun by the door. Fascinating stuff, Greg Stebbin. Where can we get the book? Amazon and wherever great books are sold, right?
Yeah, the same place you can get Kate Delaney's book that I heard about just before you invited me on the show. So my recommendation is buy both and do it right now.
There you go. Greg Stebbin, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us and good luck with the book.
You bet. It's great to be here.
So the book again, Does Putin Have to Die? The story of how Russia becomes a democracy after losing to Ukraine. Ooh.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Los Angeles City Council member Nuri Martinez has resigned as the legislative body's president after making racist remarks about a fellow council member and his black child. I take full responsibility for what I said, and there are no excuses for those comments, Martinez said in a statement. An Atlanta area prosecutor investigating Donald Trump and his allies' efforts to overturn the 2020 election has secured cooperation from former Trump White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. Hutchinson, whose cooperation has not previously been reported, became a prominent witness during a summer hearing for the House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 Capitol Hill insurrection. Multiple explosions rocked Kiev and several other Ukrainian cities, reported blasts and power outages on Monday morning as Russia lashed out with a massive wave of violent airstrikes that carried echoes of the initial days of its invasion. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, America? I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay?
Oh, let's
get the mail,
man.
Thank you very much. We didn't have to dig very far. Thanks to all of you. Remember, 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. This from our pal Jake in Texas. Kate, I'm not kidding. We still have a place for you in the great state of Texas. You are an icon here. Florida is lucky to have you. I was really worried for you during Hurricane Ian, and glad to see that you evacuated, no less, though, to a flooded area. But safe and sound, I trust. Very sad also to see that there's been looting in the terrible disaster area, apparently, that people are going in and trying to steal from those who have lost so much. We saw this with Katrina, and we've seen this when there have been other storms. There's a special place in hell for people who do things like that. Jake, thank you for the concern. I love Texas. I always have a soft spot in my heart for Texas, and I've been back many times already, including this past week. As you know, I was in San Antonio, Texas, giving a speech and doing the show from the road. It was really a lot of fun, and the people are wonderful and treat me wonderful there. So, yes, yes, yes. The looting is serious. Governor DeSantis is warning against looting, saying, you know, you haven't seen it in Florida like this after some other natural disasters, which is terrible to say that. Like, you know, he was on Sean Hannity's show and he warned against it, saying that this is, you know, we're seeing this and hearing about this, and it's not good. He toured after the storm and a lot of the businesses were boarded up. So, of course, you know, that's what you would expect to see. But they have caught a few people going in and trying to ransack people's homes or loot them or, you know, that kind of thing. And, yeah, that's not good. They, in fact, they have rapid response teams, and in some places, that's what they call them, on looting patrols in Charlotte County because Charlotte County was hit so hard. So the sheriff said there, that's not happening. It's got a 15-person rapid response team that they're there helping. And, you know, because they saw people were so dazed, especially right away, didn't have water, food, fuel, and they were helping with that. But because it's such a big task to try to restore infrastructure and some sense of normalcy to a community that's just completely devastated. And, you know, good for the sheriff for saying it's fragile. And when you got no gas, no electric, water, everything comes to a stop, you can just imagine, you know, we're setting up patrols and still have them in overnight looting patrols in a 10-mile business district where you have homes and commercial storefronts so that kind of thing is discouraged and doesn't happen. All right, we move to Sam, who says, Kate, I really am tired of Putin, and I think he needs to pound sand and get the hell away from Russia and Ukraine. It is scary. It's really not something to trifle with when he threatens with nukes because, you know, we are, like it or not, obviously in the middle of this. And, you know, God bless the people of Ukraine for what they're trying to do to continue to fight back. It is ridiculous. It is predictable that this was going to happen, but it's sad to see. And there were more Ukrainian cities that were hit by cruise missile strikes. And this is his response in frustration to the fact that his own people don't want to be mobilized and cross into Ukraine and be a part of this whole thing. Yeah, what happened in Kyiv, of course, you've got a lot of world leaders condemning it, and that's what you're going to see. 14 people were killed in so far that we know of that's been released in the Russian strikes that hit Ukraine. But this is what happens, you know. They knocked out power in Kyiv and in some other regions, and they launched 84 missiles, more than 84 missiles and airstrikes. That's what happened. Ukraine says it intercepted 56 of the missiles and drones. So about 20 Ukrainian settlements were hit. Very, 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 very sad. We go to Max, who wants to talk not about the weather and hurricanes and not about Ukraine, but instead he says, Kate, what a week for the NFL. I hope you don't mind that I step in and turn it to something a little bit different in the mailbag, but it is what we want to talk about. You say that after all. I really like it when you do nail the score. I have funky hours, but I will participate, and I pay attention to the Man Cave. I used to listen to you on NBC and caught you in WFAN New York days. I'm sure you watched the Monday Night Football. I am hitting and sending this as this goes on. What another incredible game. Crazy, crazy, crazy Kelsey. All right, so what he's referring to is the Chiefs beat the Raiders 30-29. They were trailing at one point, 17-0. And he's talking about Travis Kelsey, who had 4 touchdowns for the Chiefs. And there were some questionable calls in that game, and questionable calls and then questionable calls by coaches as to do we go for 2 here or what. And this was a woulda, coulda, shoulda game for the Las Vegas Raiders. And for the Chiefs, it was a very good game because they're 4-1. And they came back after really being behind, obviously. But we see this a lot with Pat Mahomes, but we also see this with Derek Carr, the quarterback for Vegas. So thanks for that question. Yes, you're right. You can ask anything you want or throw in your 2 cents on anything, of course. Sandra says, this is my first time to shoot you an email, and I have to tell you, Kate Delaney, I am very concerned about the supply chain, inflation, and what it's doing to so many people's ability to stretch from check to check, because let's face it, the majority of Americans in some way or the other do live check to check, and it's incredibly, incredibly stressful. The economy, to me, is very fragile, and if we're not in a recession, it certainly feels like we are headed in that direction pretty quickly, at least if you take a poll among those who live an average normal life. It is rough going when it comes to grocery prices, when it comes to even gasoline, which we know is tentative and will go up again, and everything else in our lives that has cost that much more. What do you think the solution is? Boy, I wish I had that solution in my back pocket, I'll tell you that. I worry that what's happening with the interest rates and what the Fed is doing is not working. It's supposed to cool things down, and it doesn't feel like that's going to happen, especially if it hits up again in November, which it's expected to. I was even listening to something from Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, and he was saying that it looks like when you look at the U.S. and global economy that we're spiraling into a recession by the middle of next year. And that's the other part of this. It's the global financial crisis that you also have to look at. I mean, in Paris, they're turning out the lights here and there to save electricity because they're worried about going dark. They're doing the same thing in other parts of Europe. And there are indicators of, you know, of course, part of the struggle is Russia's war in Ukraine. And there are some things in Europe that really has them in a recession. And that affects us. So you look at the Federal Reserve and the interest rates to rising to combat soaring inflation. And it's, to me, it's too fast. That's what it feels like. I mean, that's what I would say. I would say don't do that again in November. To do that again in November, I don't think is cooling things at all. I think they didn't jump into this fast enough, and they're trying to play giddy up. You know, they're trying to catch up. And so that's what's happening. They're hitting us. And now you look at what's happened in the housing sector. So there you go. All right, let's squeeze in another one. This one from Jer, who says, Kate, that scumbag Weinstein, he is on trial in Los Angeles. Can't they just put him away for good? I guess the people in California should have their say and day in court, but I can't even stand to read the horrific things that he was allowed to do, because I think people knew some of the things that he was doing. He had just too much power, period. Yeah, for those who don't know, Harvey Weinstein, he was the big producer in Hollywood, backed so many movies. But the 70-year-old former movie mogul, because he was a mogul, is serving already a 23-year sentence after a conviction in New York. And he's pled not guilty, to 11 counts of rape and sexual assault involving five women. And all of them are going to testify during this 8-week trial in a Los Angeles court. Jury selection started on Monday. Yeah, they should get their day in court, get to face them, get to say what they probably wanted to say for a very, very long time. All right, hang with us as we wrap up the hour. Some interesting odds and ends, things you might not have known that happened already this week.
Camels struck the burning sand. Pyramids climbed to the sky.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, Kate Delaney. DelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What is the ultimate survival food? If you are a prepper, then you know that the most important storage food is protein. Not just any protein, but a complete protein that supplies all 20 amino acids in their renatured and usable state. Renatured protein will be broken down into the 20 amino acids. These 20 amino acids will support muscle tissue repair, immunity, and the repair and proper functioning of every organ and tissue of your body. Carbohydrates and fats cannot do that. Stored pre-made meals, while convenient, are also already cooked and therefore denatured. The Max Planck Institute states that 50% of the amino acids making up a protein cooked to normal cooking temperatures are destroyed and therefore toxic to the liver, kidneys, and body. For the ultimate in non-denatured and virtually 100% assimilable protein that stores for decades at a time, consider getting Green Meadow Whey. The protein in Green Meadow Whey will support your energy, mood, strength, glutathione production, immunity, repair, and more. To learn more, go to bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Odds and ends, things you might not know about Halloween. Well, we know that the stores are up and going. You can buy costumes almost anywhere. Some of those spirit Halloween stores, they seem like they're everywhere. And they should seem like they're everywhere because there's over 1,400 of them in the United States. They pop up right before Halloween and then they suddenly... yeah, disappear, just like that. It seems like almost overnight, but I guess not quite. And in honor of Halloween, a horticultural teacher from Minnesota set a new U.S. record Monday for the heaviest pumpkin after raising a giant gourd weighing 2,560 pounds. Oh, my gosh. How does that happen? I'm starting a garden. I don't think I can do the pumpkin thing. I don't know if the weather in Florida will allow for that. But if it does, I would like to get in that race for the giant gourd. What do you do? How do you grow one that big? I mean, good for this teacher, because I think it is really, really kind of an interesting thing. There's a lot of kind of traditions around pumpkins. It's not just pumpkin pie, the pumpkin carving and contest. Some people are so creative and clever. It's unbelievable. I'm lucky I can get the eyes in the mouth and get the pumpkin cleaned out and get the candle in the, you know, in the middle of it. But some people do amazing things. And then they have the pumpkin throws and, pumpkin seeds are big this time of year. Not that they aren't in a couple of other times, but especially in the falls when you think of pumpkins. I will tell you a funny story, just as a quick aside, something that may shock you about me. I grew up in just over the bridge from Philadelphia, but what you don't know about that and what many people who live in the Midwest and other places who haven't been there think that it's, is it like the Sopranos? No. What it used to be was farm territory and beautiful areas where there are big farmers markets. And where I went to high school, there was a big farm nearby, and there was always a big challenge to go into the farmer's field. It was kind of one of those rites of passage, and steal some pumpkins. And, you know, the farmer knew that, I think it was kind of one of those things where he knew that was happening, and it was kind of, you know, shoved under the rug, or it was just a thing that happened. And I got convinced to be part of a crew that did that. And of course, I never stole anything in my life, and I'm not very good at that kind of thing. and I was goaded into it that this has to happen, and he'll know anyway. And blah, blah, blah. And you, if you feel guilty, you can leave an envelope of money at the farmer's market, and they won't know. So of course, I'm pushed into this. I go and do it, and what's happening? People are getting shot at as they are going over with blanks, right? And that was the idea when you're going over the fence. So luckily, I was good at crawling under the fence, and I made it out, but not with a pumpkin. So I never actually stole a pumpkin, and for that, I'm grateful because I know I would have had an envelope for probably three times as much as a tiny pumpkin would have been worth that I might have gotten my hands on, but I did not do it. Silly things like that that you do in high school. All right, this is not silly, and this is a big deal. Hackers took down U.S. airport websites, a bunch of them. Department of Homeland Security confirmed that, temporarily shutting down these websites at least seven major airports on Monday. And it appears to be what they're saying, the DHS Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, as they call it, they won't say much other than to say that it didn't affect the actual operations of the airports or planes flying in and out of them, but it affected the websites. Russian-speaking hacktivists from a group called Killnet claimed responsibility for the attacks, which took down 14, including Atlanta's, Los Angeles also, and it looks like Chicago, too, as well. The DDoS attacks are used to overwhelm computer servers by sending them many thousands of requests at the same time. In this case, the servers hosting the airport sites were swamped with thousands of requests, making it impossible for travelers to connect to get upgrades about their scheduled flights or book airport services, which, you know what, a lot of people do that. And it's interesting because I just traveled, and somebody told me to be careful of the of hooking up through the airport. So I actually did not do that because I had two stops on the way in and two stops on the way back. And that would really kind of mess things up for people, especially, again, if you're going and you're trying to rebook or you're trying to just jump online as fast as you can, because it shows you how vulnerable in this information technology world we are and how much we rely on it, whether it's using our cell phones to check when a flight is coming or departing or the current operations at an airport that's congested. It's convenient, and I see people on it all the time because that's what you're doing. That's where you're getting a lot of that. That's where you're getting a lot of that information. I guess it's kind of a warning to just be a little bit careful when you log into some of that stuff. I think when somebody lives to be 95, that is something. Eileen Ryan, an actress from Twilight Zone, Grey's Anatomy, to name a few, dead at the age of 94, and she is Sean Penn's mother. And, wow. I mean, you would, if you saw her face, you would know her face from all kinds of things, The Twilight Zone especially, but lots of other current hits like NYPD Blue in the past, but now it's still back on TV Land. Ally McBeal, Grey's Anatomy is still huge. Private Practice, ER, she's in a whole bunch of different films. Eight-Legged Freaks, Parenthood, that kind of thing. And how about that? So Sean Penn said of his mother, she was a lioness. She could dress down authority figures. She could not be intimidated. I like that. A lioness. So 94 years old, so almost 95. She would have been 95 on October 16. That is a long life well lived from all accounts. Supply chain headaches. I've talked about this a lot. Now that we're into October, just to give you an update here, the issues are here to stay. Everything is pretty fragile with the supply chain. We know that. And, of course, the global events like the war in Ukraine and China's zero COVID policies, that caused a lot of manufacturing shutdowns. The Hurricane Ian has caused some problems as well. So there's a big strain on all kinds of things as far as the supply chain is concerned. Destroyed equipment, materials that you can't get. Remember, we had even that rail worker strike that was temporarily averted in September, which could still happen. Let's hope not, because that would be another big blow. And these are the kinds of things that just continue to snarl and back up the supply chain. However, there are deals to be taken advantage of, because there are other retailers who have to move excess products that came in late last year. So I'll tell you one area that's pretty cheap. If you need a flat screen TV, go shopping. I mean, just look all over. You can get one so cheap. It may be one of the cheapest things that you could possibly get, certainly one of them. And, you know, it's funny. The holiday shopping season used to start with Black Friday. Now it's starting really already in October. So, and part of that is because of Amazon. They have all these prime days, which they're in the middle of. And when you look at the shortages, food products, and you know, we're still going to have problems with the semiconductor chip. So electronics, that's going to be a problem. That's going to hold things up. There are, like I said, an excess of other kinds of products where you'll be able to get probably some good deals. But maybe we won't be buying quite as much. Do we need any more stuff because of inflation? So there might be less demand for some goods that are in short supply. I would think that's a possibility. On that note, we're going to call it an hour. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. A tip of the cap to Nathan Reeder for his fine work always on the technicals. And a shout out to Bernard McGurk. What a great guy. I had a chance to work with him at WFAN. He's a longtime radio personality. Laid to rest this week on Long Island. He's part of a WABC show with my pal Sid, Bernie and Sid in the morning. Really sad. Died of prostate cancer at the age of 64. Rip, rip, Bernard McGurk.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.